You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What, Num?
Tottenham!
Don't be a Clottenham!
You want goals?
Tottenham's got the...
Tottenham. I'm saying Tottenham very, very often. Hot shot! Give them all you got. Let me make it plain. Tottenham are the kings. The kings of White Hart Lane.
Top 10 Tottenham!
Hello, welcome to another episode of Top 10 Tottenham. Mike Lee here. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Delighted to have this guest. There's a lot of kind of Spurs news sites out there. Most of them are utter garbage, but this man's been doing it for a long, long time with his Talking THFC. Always my go-to news source for all Tottenham news. It's Sean Cook. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate. You're too kind. And, of course, reciprocate being my favourite Spurs podcast,
oh,
of course.
Oh, bless you. How have you been? How's the season for you?
I mean, how lovely has it been to have no Spurs, eh? Hasn't it been nice?
Yeah,
it's been
miss it after a couple of weeks, but I really haven't this time.
Yeah, do you know what? No, it's been a nice break. Obviously not enjoying the transfer circus as of late, but Big Ange starts on Saturday at the weekend, so excited.
The new goalie, as we recall, the new goalie is coming from Italy. Someone I hadn't heard of, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, for sure. And it's all, you know, seems to be making the right noises and signing players we can all get behind, which is, you know, is all you can ask for at the end of the day.
Yeah. I still want the big signing. I still want a big, you know, 55 mil Madison comes in.
I think it's going to happen.
I'm a bit bored of these 17 million plus add-ons and all that. Let's spend some big money. Come on.
Yeah. And at least Danny Rose won't have to Google him, as well.
Exactly. Well, we'll see. Well, you've got an extraordinary mix of stuff. Quite a few. Some recent games I completely forgotten about. So I'm really, really glad with your picks. Before we start, just to remind listeners who might not have heard you on the Spurs show, how did you become a Tottenham fan? Whose fault is it?
Well, I mean, it was hard for me not to be, really. My entire family is Spurs, right. bar my nan, who is a belligerent West Ham fan until she's no longer with us. So it was hard for us to not be Spurs, really. On my mum and dad's side, everyone is Spurs through and through. So where did you grow up?
Did you grow up near the area?
So I'm from Essex originally, Billericay boy. It was either Spurs, West Ham, or Arsenal at school. Yeah. And the choice was obvious.
Right. Fantastic. Good for you. Thank God for that. I mean, you know, Billericay, you immediately go kind of West Ham, really. It's big West Ham country, isn't it?
Absolutely. And as I say, everyone that I grew up with at school and whatnot was West Ham. But I couldn't lower my standards to be West Ham for sure.
Quite right. Well, I mean, your first pick is a corker. And funny enough, the third season of the show, this has rarely come up. And I think maybe because of that whole Pochettino era, there's so many great games. But this was a beauty. It was 2018, Chelsea 1, Tottenham 3. Let's remind ourselves of Dele Alli's first goal.
Is Dele Alli arriving? Good first touch. Oh, what a goal! Dele Alli! Silences Stamford Bridge. Eric Dier saw the run. Ali got between the two defenders. Superb first touch. Caballero was caught off his line and Dele Alli knew where to place it.
So why is this one going, Sean?
So I'd been away to Chelsea numerous times before and I have since. And, you know, with, I'm sure you're the same, some absolute stinkers in there. Yeah. My first Chelsea away was the 4-0 under Sherwood where Cabal got sent off. Sherwood made the players come and clap us at the end and it was just, it went from worse to worse that day. But, on that day, I mean, when Chelsea went 1-0 up, this is 2018, sorry, you know, it kind of triggered that PTSD from those previous trips to Stamford Bridge. But the reason this has gone in is it just felt such a turning point. It was such a significant away win for so many reasons in that it was the first kind of big away win under Pochettino in that period. Our first win at Stamford Bridge for God knows how long. Was it 23, 26
it's
years?
It's the Lineker
like
game,
that.
Yeah. The Lineker
game, I think. It just felt significant. And, I loved going away for Spurs for a long time and I just hadn't had that trip. You know, I hadn't had that one away trip that really just would stick with me forever. And we went with my good mate Dom, who's been Spurs for a long time. And I don't know if this is a recurring thing at Stamford Bridge, but something that stuck with me to that, around that day really was the Chelsea bar staff in the Spurs end were all wearing Gascoigne shirts on the day. They'd all given them Spurs t-shirts with Gascoigne 8 on the back, which for Chelsea seems such a lovely touch. You know, it's not a club that kind of strikes me as giving away fans that lovely touch. Love you because it's just such a poxy little ground.
And they hate us.
and they hate us, of course. But everything from that day, you know, those little touches to a 3-1 away win. And I happened to be sitting in the very last seat from the home fans. So as you can imagine, just having all kinds of abuse chucked at us for the whole game. But to hold up three fingers and one finger on the other, the other hand at them towards the end was just magic.
Those famous stills of Dele Alli giving it to the fans and them sort of giving it the V signs and all that. There's some great images with the hatred in their faces. This was sort of Dele in his pomp. This is when he was doing this, making these runs from the Eriksen passes, not even thinking, finishing brilliantly. And it's such a shame the way football's gone for him now, isn't it?
Do I wish we had that Dele for longer. I mean, even under Mourinho, we kind of got those early flourishes he's back here, this is going to be it. But heartbreaking, hard to understand what's going on with him personally, really, to kind of lead to this decline. But it sounds like Sean Dyche very much kind of wants to bring him back into the fold at Everton, which would be a lovely touch. And we'd love to see him back to his best for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, your next pick, this one has cropped up. Quite surprising because of kind of what went on after. But there wouldn't have been an after if it wasn't for this result. 2019, Nou Camp, Barcelona 1, Spurs 1. Let's listen to the Lucas Moura equaliser now.
Kane. Harry Kane into the area! Spurs have scored! Lucas Moura off the bench may have just got a vital equaliser! The Spurs fans go mad in their pocket of the Camp Nou. Barcelona 1, Spurs 1. Lucas Moura gets it. And there's hope once again.
Were you there that night?
I was, and I've got a really amazing, lovely story attached to this one. So, as you know, Mike, I was a sports journalist for a long time and was at News UK for the bulk of my kind of journalist career. And part of my time there was involved with their Dream Team product, the fantasy football team. And they launched content site and social media pages and all of that and joined Dream Team to kind of help lead their social and get all things going there. And as part of that work, we contracted Ian Wright and Alan Shearer to be ambassadors for us in 2018, I think. So they had an agreement to do a couple of columns for us, appear in some videos and all that kind of stuff. And during the kind of brainstorms about the kind of content we want to produce with them, the idea came up to do away day trips where we would take them to a famous historic European game or whatever that might be, and film the whole thing. You know, have an away day with two of the Premier League's biggest legends. And the further we got down the line with that, we quickly realized what a stupid idea that was, in that these are two of the most famous and prominent Premier League players of all time. And no matter where we stuck them, it was going to be absolute chaos.
Yeah, right, so, with his big hat. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And so the Barcelona game came up, in that the Nou Camp was obviously a stadium that has a lot of history. It was obviously somewhere that's the dream away day for a lot of fans. And thus we kind of identified that game. And at the time, I wasn't anywhere near kind of going on this trip. It wasn't something that was on the agenda for me. And as I say, as we kind of got further and further along the line with this idea, we realized, how can we possibly take Ian Wright and Alan Shearer into the home end at Barcelona? And regardless of their standing in Spain, they're such famous names. You know, they would get hounded. And about 2 days before, their agents pulled the plug and said, look, we just can't do this. Oh. And suddenly, 4 or 5 tickets became available for Barcelona Spurs. And, I fought absolute tooth and nail to be on that trip and managed to go to cover the game.
Kind of said, I'll do a bit of work.
Oh, I mean, I'd say do a bit of work. It was an Instagram story at best, and that was about it.
plane, picture of the wing.
So managed to get on this trip. And
amazing.
Just not only was it just an absolute dream come true to be, away with Spurs at such a famous ground, but I don't know if you've done the Camp Nou. I don't know if you were there that night.
No, I haven't.
It's an absolute dump. Like an absolute dump, and it's falling to pieces, but you can't help but admire the absolute sheer scale of it. And you obviously remember that they didn't start a lot of their stars that night. Messi was on the bench, and just the noise when he went to warm up was just so incredible. And I remember this to this day, the feeling. Yeah. And obviously we were sitting in the home end and in a really, really passionate Barcelona area as well. And, you could hear my Essex accent a mile away. We obviously had to keep ourselves to ourselves for as much as we possibly could, because the Barcelona fans that we were in, no matter the standing of the game, and I think they were already through at that stage.
Yes.
They love that football club and they were so passionate about it. So we were kind of, heads down, keeping our hats down low, and went 1-0 down, really, didn't expect much more from a Spurs start in a big, stressful game away from home. And then we equalised, and I'm sitting next to my mate Andy at the time, obviously couldn't jump up, so I'm smacking him in the knee, out of celebration, trying to keep my excitement down. And then, of course, not 5 minutes later, Danny Rose almost goes clean through on goal, where I'm out of my seat, almost in tears at the prospect that we might go and win this game at the Camp Nou. And it was just absolute magic. And of course, you might as well know that there are no screens at the Camp Nou. It's such an old stadium that there's no indication of what's happening elsewhere. And of course, we were waiting on the result from the PSV game.
Yes.
And for those that haven't been to Barcelona, the away end is so far up in the gods, you're in the clouds. Like it really is up in the heavens. So you couldn't really hear the Spurs fans for much of it, where we were in the lower bowl of the stadium. Yeah. But of course, there's no screens, not much reception. So our game had finished and we're waiting for the result. And you suddenly hear in the heavens this burst of noise where the result had come through, and Poch is on the pitch clapping us. And it was just absolute magic. I will remember that trip
for amazing
the rest of my life. Incredible.
That's lovely. That's a great story. Great story. Well, bang down back to earth now with this one. and this is the only one I couldn't find a clip of. Admittedly, I didn't try that hard, but November 2003, I'm guessing why you put this one in. I assume I'm right. It finished, who remembers this? Tottenham 0, Charlton Athletic 1. Why did this one go in, Sean?
It was my first game.
Oh, I thought so.
It was my first game.
Wow. Well, what an awful first game.
Oh, tell me about it. It's... Do you know what? It was every Spurs fan, it will stay with me forever. It was back in the days where smoking in the concourse was still a thing, and those smells and that atmosphere will just, I honestly will remember that forever. I think I must have been, I'm showing my age here, but I was quite young for the game, and I couldn't believe that the surroundings were just what took me away. And being as small as I was, couldn't see much of the game. You know, you've got your big burly blokes in front of you and you can't see a thing. But I remember just being so blown away by the size of the jumbo screens. Like, right. I'd never seen a telly of that size, you know. Yes. So spent most of the game watching it on the screens as opposed to the game itself.
Right.
And yes, it was a JJ Okocha goal, I believe, that was their winner. Oh, wow. And watching that on the screen and then hearing the burst of the Charlton fans, It is Bolton.
I just looked it up. November the 1st. Because while you were talking, I was going, who's the manager? Was it Hoddle? No, it was Pleat.
Pleat
was caretaker manager. I still don't remember this one either. No wonder I couldn't bloody find it.
Well, there we go. And as I'm saying that, I was like, did JJ Okocha play for Bolton, for Charlton? I don't know. But I remember that goal going in and watching it on the jumbo screens and hearing the roar of those Bolton fans. And an absolute miserable game. Pissed it down the entire time. But you never forget your first Spurs game, do you?
No, you don't. I'm sorry, it was such a bad one. The next one, again, because of the Champions League run, that extraordinary run, this one is, and because it was at Wembley a bit, maybe, this is slightly forgotten. And this was an extraordinary night in our European history. It really, really was. 2007, Tottenham 3, Real Madrid 1. Let's listen to the third goal here from Christian Eriksen.
For Real Madrid, Eriksen's on his way, Eriksen's onside, Eriksen, 3-0, they're in dreamland Tottenham now. Dele Alli first, picks Harry Kane out when Eriksen was in. Harry Kane, great awareness to pick Eriksen in. One touch, lovely finish over Kessié.
This was some night, wasn't it? This is when Harry Winks was like out of this world.
the Iniesta links at the time were. I still can't believe it to this day. I still can't believe it. And I watch that footage back, the BT coverage of it back all the time, because that commentary stays with me as well, even though I was at the game. Yeah. The European champions have been torn apart here by Tottenham. It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable the talent they had on that night, Real Madrid. And of course, they went and won the Champions League that year, but which people seem to forget. You know, we beat them. We won the group with the winners in it.
Yeah.
I will remember everything about that game forever. Just the feeling of going 1-0 up as offside as Trippier might have been in that build up. Kane playing Eriksen through. Just the atmosphere that night. I've never heard Wembley like that in our entire time there. It was incredible. There was that was our first year of season tickets at Wembley, because obviously the increase in attendance meant that those of us that had been on the waiting list forever had finally gotten that chance. And we sat next to the same kind of group of people, and there was a guy, a Turkish guy, I'll never forget him, about three rows in front of me, who, irregardless of who we'd score against, would always turn around and celebrate with everyone. You know, we'd score against Huddersfield and there he'd be, you know, kissing his mate next to him and pulling you down from rows ahead of you. And I just remember him that night in that, one moment he was there celebrating the third goal, and then the next moment he was gone. Yeah. And we were about five rows from the edge. So I still don't know to this day if that guy ever survived that third goal against Real Madrid. It was just a magic night. I will remember it forever.
It was a great night. And that's a great, great pick. Another pick in Europe. And this one, again, I had absolutely no memory of it whatsoever. Really didn't. I mean, I found it. 2014. Tottenham 5, Asteris Tripolis 1. And here is Harry Kane's first goal.
Dembele. Capu. Asteris keeping their shape here. Tight and compact. Asking Tottenham to try and play through them. Here's Kane with another long-range effort! Oh, wonderful hit! Harry Kane scores a beauty.
And tell me this is your first European night.
It wasn't my first European night. It was my first game covering Spurs as a journalist.
Oh, which, amazing. Oh, lovely. Incredible. Well, there we are.
To be in the press box at the old White Hart Lane. Yeah. incredible.
Awful seats. Excuse me. If someone wanted to get past you.
Awful seats. You know, I'm sitting on Henry Winter's laps for most of the first half. But it was just, what I remember most about that was obviously the game had everything. We had six goals, a Kane hat trick, the Lamella Rabona. We had,
of course, it's the Rabona game. I couldn't remember. Of course,
the
it
Rabona.
Was.
Yeah,
I can't believe I didn't pick that one out.
Lloris getting sent off, Kane in goal.
Oh wow! Of course, it was the Kane in goal.
Yeah,
I forgot all these things because kind of Lamella's first Rabona is kind of forgotten about because of the one against Arsenal. Forget the first one now. That's why.
That's what was so amazing about that, and I haven't seen it in a press box since. That goal was so stunning. The entire press box jumped up and celebrated. And this is a group of guys and girls that are, most of them aren't Spurs fans, of course.
Yes.
Were celebrating a goal because of just how blown away we were by it. But I didn't sleep at all that night. You know, you can imagine the buzz of filing your copy and just, it was just amazing and really had it all and spent time with, you know, journalists to this day that I still admire. Lots of, you know, Jack Pitbrook at The Athletic. I remember he was at The Independent back then. Just an amazing night. And to have that as your first game as a journo, you know, you can ask for much more, really.
No, oh, that's amazing. Great memory. Well, let's have a quick 1 minute break. And when we come back, we will return, obviously, with Sean Cook and his top 10 top.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back from the break. Well, pick number six. Again, because there's so many iconic games, this one, again, I don't think it's picked up enough. And it was an extraordinary night at the Lane. 2009, Tottenham 9, Wigan 1, still our biggest win in the Premier League. Obviously, there was the 9-0 Bristol Rovers. And let's listen now to Jermaine Defoe's fifth goal.
Defoe's in here. Can he finish it again? Oh, you bet he can. He's got five.
Look at that defending. Defoe punishes it. And then he has the composure, the calmness, and the clarity of mind. The goals give him that confidence. But don't take anything away from him. He finds the back of the net again.
So this was a corker. This was a great one for you to book in, Sean. Why do I have this one going?
Well, I was there, and this was, of course, you know, in the kind of early noughties. To give you a bit of backstory to me, my dad and my granddad had a season ticket in the early 90s, White Hart Lane. They were kind of four or five rows back from the director's box. Mm. They were really, had amazing seats. But of course, the longer the 90s went on and into the early 2000s, Spurs weren't particularly great in that period. You know, in the 90s, where obviously I came along and, you know, family circumstances changed, of course, my dad and my granddad decided to give up the ticket. So our visits to Spurs were basically a couple of times a season whenever you could get games. And that's why, you know, Bolton was my first one because
this one, plenty of tickets.
Well, exactly.
How many do you want?
And so this was our kind of allotted, birthday treat for the year, you know, going to Spurs. And the thing I still can't shake to this day is Wigan's bloody goal shouldn't have stood in the Shana in the build up handballed it.
That's right. Yeah. And was it only like 1-0 at halftime from memory? Was it like, it was like, 1-0, yeah. I think it was.
1-0. It was Crouchy scored in the first half.
Yeah.
And we're all predicting at half time, you know, it could be 3 or 4, you know, yeah. 3 or 4 if we can. And it just kept the frequency in that the goals were going in was crazy. It was just goal, yeah. goal, goal. Yeah. And, you know, then you were like, oh, Kranjčar's having a pop and there's another
goal.
Yeah, another,
yes.
Just amazing. And I don't think I've had that much fun at Spurs
yes.
because obviously with the Madrid ones and all of that, there's always the threat of them coming back and them scoring. Yeah. And it was just so much fun. And I remember it forever. And Jermaine Defoe is up there in my favourite Spurs players ever.
Yeah,
like absolutely. He's just the definition of a proper striker. And for him to still have that record and be in that list of players, I think there's only 5 players that might have scored in 5 Premier League games, something like that.
Okay.
I think Aguero's the only one that's done it since. I might be wrong on that. But yeah, just an amazing, amazing game. And I just wish the Premier League should intervene and strike that goal from the record.
Too right, too right. Then it would match our all-time record home win as well. The next one in, this one has come along because it meant so much, probably almost more than your first pick at Stamford Bridge. I'm talking about 2015, I think it was New Year's Day. Tottenham 5, Chelsea 3, when sort of Harry Kane, even he admits, was the goal that the game he thought he really came of age. Let's listen to his couple of goals now.
Kane, easing away from Oscar. Harry Kane! Oh, what a goal! What a barrow! A Harry Kane hurricane! He likes the shot. Nicked out wide quickly for Chadley. Kane, lovely turn. Harry Kane, oh. That's gorgeous. How good is he? How big a night is this for Tottenham? How pivotal a night in the story of the Barclays Premier League title chase. Spurs are running away from Chelsea.
Why's this one gone in, Sean?
Well, again, going off the kind of my journey at Spurs, you know, we were only going a couple of times a year. And by kind of this period in 2015, we had started to treat ourselves to kind of your VIP experience at Spurs once a year.
The, and sort of premium tickets, yeah.
Yeah, and typically around kind of Christmas time, yes. We'd either do the kind of Boxing Day where Lovely. They do, you know, the Bill Nicholson suite and yeah. that kind of experience. And you meet your Graham Roberts and all those kind of people before. And we managed to get them for this on New Year's Day. And not only was the game just amazing, but obviously Chelsea were on that incredible run at the time. And I think they'd only lost their first game of the whole year about 2 weeks before. So they were really, you know, a team in form. They had the Fabregas was just on it, Costa, you know, they were really a strong side. And we started, because obviously this was so early into Poch still, we had a really young, raw squad. You know, we still had Mason, Townsend, Bentaleb, Kane kind of still blooding in. And, you know, I remember seeing their team sheet and ours on the day itself.
We're
in for a long day here, boys. Yeah. You know, this is going to be tough. But yeah, just as you mentioned at the top, you know, this is Kane's kind of breakthrough game, really kind of set the standard for the rest of that season. You know, we obviously went to beat Arsenal at home later in the season, that Kane double, you know, it really kind of set things going. But what I remember most about that day is, of course, that for those people that haven't done it before, when you get the VIP kind of treatment, you have a bit of dinner before, you meet some of the legends, you get some nice seats in the West Stand. And then at the end of the game, the club will put forward a player to come up and meet you. And we're thinking, yeah, it's probably going to be
Bentaleb
or Townsend, you know, no disrespect to them. And, you know, we're there having our little tea and cake and opens the door and there's Harry Kane. Which
that
was just
beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing.
Tell me you've got a photo.
We got a photo.
Even better. What a great way to start the year.
Oh, magic. Magic. And then what was so good about that is that I'll send you the picture after in that. I look atrocious because, of course, It was New Year's Day, and I'd been out on New Year's Eve. So I was, you know, panderized to the max.
It was an early kickoff, isn't it? I'm assuming it was an early kickoff. Nobody was on New Year's Day.
I think it might be later.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember, but panderized, still wearing the outfit from the night before. So poor Harry.
And God, it wasn't a fancy dress party.
Yeah, exactly. There's me stood there as a tennis
just as a bumblebee. Yeah. Amazing. Wow, that's a great memory. What a great memory to meet Harry Kane on that game where he came of age. What a great story to tell people. See these goals there. Those are there, met Kane afterwards. That's brilliant. Amazing. This one, another one. Only 2014, but I'd forgotten it. But when I watched it back, the only thing I remembered was their goal, which was a corker.
Yeah.
Tottenham 2, Everton 1, goal down, and then equaliser from Eriksen, and then a rare curate second of a goal from Roberto Soldado. Now, I couldn't find the English commentary, so we've got the Italian commentary for this game, which makes it even more entertaining.
Eriksen, ed è il pareggio del Tottenham dopo 21 minuti. La rete di Eriksen. Non un granché questa volta Howard sul tentativo di Kane. Prontissimo Eriksen in un tap-in, fra l'altro non facilissimo. È partito Lennon in profondità per Soldado. Eccolo il gol di Soldado all'ultimo secondo del primo tempo per il vantaggio del Tottenham. Prima rete stagionale per Soldado e potrebbe essere una rete anche molto pesante per questa partita.
Why is this one going, Sean?
So this, I think, was my best seat ever at White Hart Lane.
Nice.
And that's why this kind of sticks with me, in that at the time, a really long backstory, but my uncle was working for a company that had kind of a relationship with Spurs, and they were occasionally getting tickets. And I think Spurs were trying to schmooze them to get, you know, a box or season tickets or whatever that might have been. And my uncle Gary had he had two tickets for that game. And, you know, Everton on a miserable, I think it must have been winter time, you know, miserable Saturday evening. I thought, let's go along. We might get, you know, your program and a pint and whatever it might be. But the seat we had was slap bang in between the two pillars on the shelf. And couldn't have been a kind of better view of the whole thing, in that you didn't have the obstruction of the two pillars. You know, you didn't have any of that. And we were about three rows in front of the Sky commentary box. So we had, I think, Gary Neville and Martin Tyler, like three rows behind us. And just, I just remember everything about that day just being, it was just an incredible view of the game. The game itself, pretty forgettable, as you mentioned. But of course, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the house at halftime, because, as you mentioned, Soldado scored. And, you know, it was right on the, I think it was 45 plus 1 minute or whatever he might have scored. And he had that such barren spell beforehand that everyone in the stadium, which is,
I remember. Happy for him.
He went off crying, you know, tugging at the heartstrings. We were just, you know, almost in bits, all of us. But also, you know, that was amazing. But the experience itself was so cool because, as I say, they were definitely trying to schmooze my uncle and the company he was working for. And the guy that was kind of facilitating our day was like, look, do you want to head up to, there's like a little suite where they kind of do the man of the match, you know, award. Would you kind of, you know, come up and see Coity, you know, give the man of the match award? And we're like, yeah, that'd be great. And they gave it to Eriksen that day.
Okay.
But what was amazing was I saw all corners of White Hart Lane that I'd never seen before. There were kind of secret lifts and secret hallways that I'd never seen before to kind of navigate the stadium to get to this box. And as we were coming out of this lift, coming up the stairs, walked through Christian Eriksen. And the guy that worked for Spurs said, he was, oh, Christian, can we have a quick picture? Pulls him over. And we got to meet Eriksen on that
day. Amazing.
And he was amazing. Spent a couple of seconds with us, you know, chatting away. And just not only kind of my best ever seat, a lovely win, and me and Eriksen as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lovely story. Really nice. Well, we've raced through these with these stories. The penultimate one, this was in mine. This was absolutely in my top 10 time. I'm never tired of listening to this bit of commentary. 2019, it finished Manchester City 4, Tottenham 3. We didn't care. we're through to the Champions League semi-final. Let's listen to the hilarious... Well, let's listen to... I think it's got Llorente's goal here, and then the hilarious ending.
Kieran Trippier with a corner this time. All the way through! Oh, it's got him! Well, Fernando Llorente might well claim it. From a Tottenham standpoint, they don't care where it came from. It's a goal for them that puts them back in control of this quarter-final. It's Manchester City 4, Tottenham 3. It's Fernando Llorente.
This game's unbelievable.
They're going to check it, though, Jermaine, to see, I think, whether there's a hand in there.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't feel like he headed it.
Advice.
So, look, it doesn't hit his hand.
These are the pictures that Cunek Chakir, the referee, is looking at. Massimiliano Irrati is the VAR referee. It's such a big moment, this.
Huge moment. Really is.
He's given it. There's the decision. The goal is confirmed. No handball by Fernando Llorente. It's the Tottenham Hotspur. Kyle Walker. Sergio Aguero. Saved by Lloris.
It's a great run of ball, this, from Kyle Walker.
Long. Giving it away here to Aguero. Aguero with a chance. Sterling with a chance. Here's the moment. Oh, he's done it! Raheem Sterling for Manchester City, right at the death.
They had the chance to clear it. They decided to play here, Eriksen. Got to get rid of it.
They're checking for a potential offside during the goal. And it is under review. To Massimiliano Irrati, and it's been disallowed.
They disallowed it.
It's been disallowed for an offside against Aguero.
Oh my God.
Oh my word. With the corner. And he blows the full time whistle. Well, Tottenham Hotspur have done it. It's one of their great nights. The underdogs have come to Manchester and got the job done after a Champions League classic that's had absolutely everything.
So this is up there for drama, isn't it?
Oh, just, I mean, we talked about the Asteris Tripolis game having everything. I mean, if that didn't, this game certainly did, you know, with the added VAR element. But it just, the reason I've gone for this one, and not to spoil the people on the edge of the seats waiting for my 10th pick, but the reason this edges over me for the Ajax game, believe it or not, is that the Ajax one, as amazing as that was, and still the best Spurs game ever, you know, in certainly in my lifetime, I was watching at home the Ajax game, and for those of us that were watching at home, the BT footage of Moura's third goal, the camera shakes and wobbles as the goal goes in, and I still to this day, I don't believe the goal's gone in, because I thought there was some kind of mad VAR intervention or something's been spotted elsewhere, and I'm like, What's happening? And then suddenly, you know, you've got Poch and Dyer crying on the pitch, and I'm like, "We've done it." And I remember listening to your top 10. You know, like, we did it. We did it. I was the same. I was like, "I can't believe we've done this." But I still kind of curse to this day BT Sport for ruining that memory. And anyone that watches it back on YouTube will see they've had to do a quick edit of that because they bugged it up so much on the night.
I don't remember from the night. I don't remember.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But the Man City one, you know, it was so significant because it was Man City, right? Like a Man City away, a Guardiola team, quarterfinals, Champions League. No one gave us a hope.
No one.
And, you know, again, I feel like I've been cursing everyone left, right and centre on this podcast, but I still, and this is why I position this after meeting Christian Eriksen in the picks, in that I still curse him to this day for giving the bloody ball away in the build-up to that Sterling goal.
Okay, doesn't look up, just plays it back.
I know. Honestly, so he loses the ball, it goes in, they score, and I storm off into the kitchen, you know, kicking the living daylights out of our recycling box or whatever it was in the kitchen, and stick, you know, bloody Eriksen giving this ball away. And then obviously I can hear, I think I was watching it with my family. I can hear, I think my brother go, they're going to overturn this. And I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way they're overturning it. Guardiola's there, you know, on his knees. Yeah, right? There's no way they're going to take that away from Man City. And then obviously the ref goes to the screen and turns it over. And I still can't believe that to this day, that actually happened. And that for all the bad juju we've had as Spurs fans, for something to go our way in such a significant game.
What was incredible about the Man City game was after that happened, there was no more time. It just was end of game. Whereas with Ajax, we forget, after the goal went in, the final Lucas Moura goal, there was still a good few minutes of extra time, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I don't remember Victor Wanyama carried the ball. He must have gone from kind of, I don't know, halfway through our half to the halfway line, and then just decided to just hoof the ball down the Man City pitch like he's playing for touch in rugby, but managed it about 6 feet because I think his hamstring or something had gone. So he hadn't even made any progress on the pitch. So it was just, I could not wait for it to end. It was just painful on painful. But yeah. I mean, those celebrations and just, that one, for me, as magic as that Ajax night was, the City one, just there was something about that that was just so satisfying on you know, all accounts, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, your last one, again, a very, very surprising pick. And again, you kind of remember the first game more than the second one, but what a night. What a night. And I apologise for the poor sound quality here. 2010, Tottenham 4, Young Boys 0. Why is this one gone in short? This is a kind of one you forget about.
Yeah, I mean, so this one's a kind of joint pick with the first leg, right. Because obviously this was our first taste of Champions League football. And what I still, again, I sound like such a cynic, don't I? I'm cursing people with left, right and centre. But my parents decided, and my dad's a massive Spurs fan, but my parents decided to book very lovely holiday over the first two legs. We were in Cornwall camping. We used to do a lot of camping holidays and went so into deep, dark Cornwall that finding anywhere to watch either of these games was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And we managed to find the tiniest little pub in the world that was showing the first leg. And obviously, the first leg was entirely forgettable. You know, we lost the game. We thought we were
three down.
Yeah, and we thought it was, you know, we were out before, you know, we'd even got into the group stage. But we watched it in this tiny little pokey Cornish pub, and we were just kind of repeat ordering Diet Cokes just to make sure that the barman wouldn't send us home. But then the second leg, we were still in Cornwall, and I think we'd moved about a bit. So we were in a new campsite for the second leg. And the campsite was showing the game. They had outdoor kind of screen, and they were showing the game. What we had full confidence, you know, White Hart Lane under the lights, our first Champions League game at White Hart Lane. You know, we had all full confidence we'd do it. And the game itself, I don't remember much of it, but I remember Crouch, you know, being incredible, and it just kind of got us, you know, our foot in the door. And then what a season that was. But what was incredible as we were kind of zipping up our tent to head down and watch the game was, we passed a car with a little Swiss number plate. As we got closer to this car, the whole back of it was laden with Young Boys flags. No. We were staying at a campsite in the arse end of Cornwall with a bunch of Young Boys fans that were all obviously also watching the game in this outdoor screen. And that was my memory of that game, was that we were just goal after goal. These poor little Swiss fellas that had driven all of this way for their lovely holiday was next to this, you know, argy-bargy bunch from Essex celebrating in their faces. Amazing memories of that one. What the chances of that, and that run we had in the Champions League that year. You know, listened into previous episodes of this, the Inter Milan night, the AC Milan night. You know, I remember that's still one of my fondest kind of campaigns on the whole for Spurs, and probably second only to us getting to the final of 2019. You know, the memories for that was just Spurs in the big time, you know, against the big boys, and magic moments.
Amazing. Sean, thank you so much. That's such a fantastic look back at your top 10 Tottenham. Thank you so much for joining us. Apologies, but maybe you don't even know. We've had quite a few sound problems tonight. It's now 2 o'clock in the morning. but thank you so much. And again, anyone who doesn't follow Talking THFC on social media, do so. And Sean, we'll see you without doubt next season for the dawning of another new Tottenham era. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.